I take my brother and sister-in-law with me. And I know the experience just blew their minds. And my pretty sharp sister, she likes you. Yeah, she likes you. So it's just, God is good. God is good. You know, this old Rich down there, years and years ago, we met over shifting some chairs, remember? And you were a very quiet person. And you know, I up here, man, just then you just sounded like a preacher. Yeah, so you just sounded like a preacher. Yeah. Something's unloosed your tongue. Yeah, Spirit of God. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, please. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Ryan has already mentioned it. Today, we are talking about, and you've mentioned it too, we're talking about the faithfulness of God today. Believe it or not, we're talking about the faithfulness of God. We're doing a Bible study on the faithfulness of God. And I want you to understand, one of the main reasons I'm doing it is because if you're reading through your Bible, like I am just going through in a year sort of thing, reading through the Bible, you will be reading at the moment through the book of Daniel. And you will have read through Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and boy, oh boy, can't those passages of Scripture get very depressing? I am going to chew you up, I am going to bite you, I am going to... Oh, it goes on and on. You kind of... How did you Jewish folk ever survive, Bob, with that kind of stuff coming down the pike at you all the time? Man alive. Gosh, it makes me thirsty just thinking about it. I've got to get a drink. So anyway, I get to Daniel, get to Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel is a compatriot of Daniel and Jeremiah. They're all around about the same time, around about 500-600 years before Christ. And Ezekiel a little bit later, time of Ezra, you know, they live in bad times. In fact, they've been booted out of their homeland. They've lost their homeland. And these are righteous people that are suffering because of the misdeeds of a whole lot of other people. Right, basically that's what happened. Daniel's righteous. These guys are righteous people, and so God begins to speak to them and begins to share with them what's going to happen in the future. And so I'm reading through the book of Ezekiel, the last major prophecy in the book of Ezekiel, around about Ezekiel 45, thereabouts there. If you're interested in reading it, I'm going to speak about it next week because it's the reward of faithfulness that's been spoken about. You see, these guys were faithful. And it's the reward of faithfulness that's been spoken about in that latter prophecy of the book of Ezekiel. It's incredible. I'm reading it through, and I'm pretty punch drunk from all this rough stuff that they've been prophesying over Tyre and all of these Egypt and all of these different places. And, oh my goodness, you're going to turn everything into a dry desert. You know, and I'm going to blast you, I'm going to do this and that. And oh, just the kind of language I don't like to hear. And you're reading through it and you get to this and you suddenly find that he's talking about a temple where God is going to presence himself. And the measurements are there, and I'm looking at these measurements and, wow, hang on, a cubit is that far. And then you start doing the sums in your head and you start to understand how big this temple has not been built yet. In fact, the only part of the temple Temple of Herod, Temple of Solomon before him that's there is the Wailing Wall. You've seen pictures of the Wailing Wall. I thought about getting a picture and putting it up here. But for this temple, when it's built, it's going to cover the whole of the mount, which means it has to cover the Islamic temple that is there at the moment. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Talk about all that next week. But for me, the guy who's serving in the temple is a guy, how many here have heard of a guy called Zadok? Put your hand up if you've heard of Zadok. You've heard of Zadok? You've probably heard of Zadok, right? Anybody else heard of him? One? Yeah, you've heard of him. You've heard of him. Yeah. So go to Ezekiel 45 and read about Zadok there. He's going to be ministering in this temple. And then if you've got a chain reference Bible, there are links which will take you back to why he's ministering in the temple. And it's simply because he was faithful. Right? So next week I'm going to talk about the reward of faithfulness. This week I want to talk about what faithfulness is. Let's start in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom. Note that. I love that word, freedom. America is a good country because we have freedom. What happened the last couple of days? Maybe we're just expressing our freedom too much. I don't know. I don't think any of that should have happened. All right? That's just my opinion. But we have freedom in this country. And you guys, I'm an outsider coming in. And I'm saying to you, there are places in this world that I've been to where there is no freedom. All right? And we have freedom in this country, and we should never let it go. And neither should we let people abuse it. All right? So let's just leave it there. And I want you to know that when we were worshiping this morning, we were worshiping with you. And we stand on the side of righteousness. There were pastors that were standing out there interceding in that crowd that gathered. There were pastors. Mark Tindall wrote about that. Mark Tindall's friends were there. If you're on Facebook, you would have seen that his friends were there. And he was congratulating them, taking a stand for righteousness. If we don't stand for righteousness, we'll lose what God has given to us. We need to stand for righteousness. God, though, is faithful. And so we have been given freedom. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. And that means stand firm. Kyle, you have to stand firm. Remember you playing football back there? And you would be, how do you stand like this? Is it like this? And the other guy's going to try and push you over, right? And you're standing firm, right? So you learn a lesson. That's how you stand firm. You don't stand firm by, you stand firm by taking up the position. And your feet are solidly planted. You stand firm. And having done all, you continue to stand firm. You don't give it up. You'll be faithful in your standing firm. So here we are. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Slavery to what? Slavery to sin and unrighteousness. What Paul does in this chapter 5 of Galatians, he goes on and he tells them, do not go back into that world that you've been set free from. By faith in verse 5 there, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. It's living by the Spirit that has value. All right? And then you go down through to you, my brothers, in verse 13. You're called to be free. Don't use your freedom to indulge in your sinful nature. Don't go back to your sinful nature and indulge in the sinful nature and the aspects of the sinful nature. He goes on, and he talks about what happens, the biting and devouring, the jealousy, the covetousness. He says you will be destroyed in verse 15 if you go back, or verse 16, verse 15, if you go back to this, you will be destroyed. You will destroy each other if you do this. And so in verse 16 he says, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now we know what it's like. We have desires according to the sinful nature. You put me next to a bowl of ice cream and strawberries and cream, and I'll lump them all together and mush them up, and I'll have a right old good feast. Now, probably be I shouldn't do that, because tomorrow I will have put on 2 pounds. All right? But I have indulged in the sinful nature. You know what I'm saying? All right? And there are times somebody might bump into us, or somebody might cut us off, and we're indulging in the sinful nature. Well, what I'm saying today is that God, who is faithful, I'm going to show you this in a moment, God who is faithful, right? He has made his faithfulness available to you through Christ Jesus. And this is how it works. You see, through Christ Jesus, through his sacrifice on the cross, he died for us and was rose again, came to resurrection life, so that we could have new life in Christ Jesus. All right, you with me? Not only do we have new life, but we are made clean by his blood. All right, we're washed clean. The spirit man inside of us has been made pure and holy. And as a pure and holy temple, this is Jesus speaking now, pure and holy temple, your inner person is pure and holy by the workings of Jesus Christ, and you have become a place where the Holy Spirit can dwell. All right, you with me? So the Holy Spirit lives within you. What is the task of the Holy Spirit? The task of the Holy Spirit is to make clear to us in our innermost being the core nature and character of God, which is love and joy and peace and faithfulness and so on. The core nature and character of God is beating within us. And the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to walk in step with that and not with our sinful nature. Is it making sense so far? Are you with me? Are you sticking with me? All right, let's go on then to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit, all right, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. You see, the law is only required where there is sin. If we go back and we live according to our sinful nature, the law becomes active. But if we belong to Jesus Christ, we have crucified our flesh, our sinful nature, with Him, with its passions and its desires. Now, listen to this, because this is really important. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So there's two challenges going on. We've got our old sinful nature that we're so familiar with, yabbering on over on this side. Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, eat the apple. Shove it down your throat as far as you can. All right? Yeah, we can do that. You can do that. Yeah, there's no law against that. You can do that. And then on the other side, there's this Holy Spirit that's speaking away, representing the Godhead in our lives, the very core and nature of God in our lives, saying, walk in step with me. Do it this way. Do it this way. Do it this way. There's a little picture that comes to mind. Judah, you often walk in here and you've got your kids with you, and it's really cute, actually. And it reminds me of, you know, sometimes, I saw you on the road the other day, remember? Yeah, you're going out to grind a stump, I do believe. Yeah, so anyway, you see a guy walking along with his children, and sometimes you'll see, and it's really cute when this happens, you'll see the kids, they're trying to walk in step with the dad. Have you had that experience? Have you tried to do that? Have you, you know, you're walking with your dad and he's the biggest hero in all of the world and you want to do everything just like him, and that includes walking like him. And so you're watching how he, all right, walk in step with the Spirit. Walk in step with the Spirit. Don't walk in step with that old sinful nature. All right, it's been defeated. It's been destroyed. It's just whispering to you. It's like a photograph that's been flashed in front of you. Walk in step with the Spirit. And if you do so, you will not be conceited. You will not provoke others. You will not envy others. You will not destroy others. Now, faithfulness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because of this, I've got a dry throat. Have you heard that ad on TV which says, if you're suffering from dry throat, it's because you've got a dry mouth? Or if you're suffering from dry mouth, it's because you've got a dry mouth? Have you heard that? Have you heard that on TV? I heard it last night and I fell off my chair laughing. Yeah, I've got a dry mouth because I've got a dry mouth. Yeah, so take this. And then at the end they say really quickly, it could kill you. So, faithfulness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And because it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, they're not called fruits for, you know, generally the language that's used in the Bible is used for a reason. My wife is, she for years now, every summer or every spring, she will buy some tomato plants and she will go out there and she will plant tomato plants. Now, there are three people, or not people, but three beings who benefit from the tomato plants. There's myself, I get one. The chipmunks and the others, they get the rest of them. It happens every year. But she'll get these tomato plant, little tomatoes, and she'll bring them in, if the chipmunks have left one for us, she'll bring it in and she'll ripen it on the window. You know, have you done that with tomatoes? And I see them ripening there, and I wait, and then I pounce, and I put this little fruit in my mouth, and I bite down on it. Have you had this experience? Right? And you know, tomatoes are pretty unique in this. They burst, exactly. And the flavor bursts right through your mouth. Yum, 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 yum. You can see I have a problem, right? But you know what I'm saying? And so they're called fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, for a reason. And take your lead from that picture. This faithfulness, it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's part of the nature and character of God. And it comes out of the core of God's being. It's one of the expressions of His nature. Look, He is such a faithful God. Such a faithful God. Now, I have a booklet here. And I'm happy to really give you this booklet. And it has, on about page 15, a little study. It's about the work of the Holy Spirit, this booklet. All right, and so that's why it's so thick. It's 30 small pages. But there's everything in there that you really need to know. And of course, Faithfulness is on page 15. Now, I will give you this booklet, all right, if you do not have a smartphone. All right? Because if you have a smartphone, now, Bronwyn, if you could put, there we go, if you have a smartphone, if you email me there at that address, if you have a smartphone, email me at that address, and I will put you onto a site that Brent Weaver, our missionary to Ukraine, and myself, we belong to an organization called OMS, Over One Mission Society. And they have used this website. You guys know what I'm talking about. They've used this website to make disciples of millions of people. Right? It works. And so if you have a smartphone, this booklet can actually be on your smartphone, along with 60 others, should you care to, you know, download them onto your phone. So it's a cloud-based thing, so it's not chalking up your phone or anything like that. Indeed, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have any idea what I'm talking about. Anyway, it's a cloud-based thing, and so you can have access to it. So if you get that there down, I will talk with you, email you back, and I will make sure that you can get access to booklets like this. Now, who doesn't have a smartphone and would like one of these booklets? All right, you know. So here we go. I've given up trying to convince Tom to get a smartphone. You have a smartphone. Yeah, you take some too. Yeah, thanks. Here we go. All right. You have a smartphone that you don't know how to use? Yeah. All right, well, I'll give it to Bob then. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Would you like one? You have a smartphone. And, yep, good. You have a smartphone too, don't you? Yeah. Yeah, you can have access to it on your smartphone. Yeah, good. All righty. That's good. The number of smartphones is increasing. That's excellent. Your God-given smartphones. Use your smartphones for the glory of God. Okay, so now there's a section on faithfulness on page 15. Those pamphlets... Wait a minute. I know that I have to give this guy over here a copy. I have to. This guy is a real dunce when it comes to anything technological. Yeah. What's that? Yeah, you've said that to me many times. I'll call him, and because he usually doesn't answer, it ends up calling me back because he's hunting, where's my jolly phone? Where's my phone? He can't remember where his phone is. Right. So, okay, faithfulness. So this booklet is called The Work of the Holy Spirit, and it has this section on the fruit of the Spirit in it, and faithfulness is part of that. So let's now have a good look at what faithfulness is. In the dictionary, faithfulness is the strict performance of one's duty, right? Strict performance of one's duty. In other words, you're a faithful worker. I want to say, if you're a faithful worker, your boss, if he's a decent person or if she's a decent person, they will always reward faithfulness, right? And I would go so far as to say this, that if you are working for a boss that doesn't recognize faithfulness, and you know that they don't have the character to recognize faithfulness, look for a way out. You know, put up with what you're in for only as long as you have to, because faithfulness is something that comes from God, and it must be rewarded. So make sure that you continue in a constant in your faithfulness in the performance of your duties, and make sure that you're in a place where you have somebody that you know recognizes your faithfulness. Faithfulness is being true to one's word, making promises and vows. With Celeste and Linda, I made a promise that I would fix a dripping tap, and I said I'll do it within 2 weeks. Well, that was 2 weeks ago, and so I have some business that I've got to take care of. I've got to get in there, otherwise they're going to think that I am not a faithful person. We have to be true to our word. We have to keep our promises and the vows that we make. We live in a day and an age where vows have become very relative and very weak, and so that's reflected in the marriage world very badly. We're to be faithful even when the most terrible things come down the pike upon us. We're to be faithful in our allegiance to our country, I believe, even though there are terrible things that happen like yesterday and the day before. I believe that we're to maintain our allegiance and our affection for our country, and we're to be loyal and constant. That's another word that's used, constant. Faithful friends are constant. They're not up and down like the grand old Duke of York, but they're constant. They're reliable, they're trusted, they can be believed. One really good picture is that of a photocopier. You know, a photocopier, whatever you put on a photocopier, it is faithful to reproduce exactly what's on the photocopier. You've noticed that? That if you put a bad picture on the photocopier, bad picture is what comes out. You put a good picture on the photocopier, a good picture is what comes out. And so a photocopier is a really good picture of faithfulness and truth and veracity in a different kind of a way. It's reproducing an original. It's accurate. It's a faithful account, a faithful copy. Now, let's overlay all of that with what the Bible has to say about faith. It adds to the word faithfulness, it adds assurance. You know, you can have an assurance. If there's anybody here today that is shaky in their faith to God, I'm going to show you in a minute why you don't need to be shaky. Because a faithful God, and I'll show you why he's faithful in a moment, a faithful God will give you an assurance of salvation. All right? A faithful God gives you, he's not a man that he should lie. A faithful God gives you an assurance. So the Bible adds this idea of assurance, of belief and walking as you believe, faith. And there's another word too that the Bible adds in, and some use the word fidelity as a translation for the word faith. Fidelity, I like the word fidelity. A person was saying in the first service that fidelity is when you get a true A in an exam. It's not a cheating A, it's a true A. All right, fidelity. I even lift it up further than that. I think fidelity is a wonderful word. I like the sound of it. To me, it's a noble sounding word. And it's a word that is used a lot in marriage. There's to be faithfulness in the form of fidelity in a marriage. Fidelity. We're to be faithful. We're to be constant. We're to be true. We're to have veracity. Now, all of these things that we say, I can't live up to this. That's okay. Let me just bear with me. Just bear with me. Because listen to this. If I was to take what the Bible says, you can read through the Bible and there are thousands, hundreds of examples of faith. I could have, instead of preaching about Zadok, whom you people have never heard of, right? And I'm not surprised by that. Very few people have. I could have talked about Abraham. God's faithfulness to Abraham. God's faithfulness to Moses, getting the people of Israel through the Red Sea. You know, they look back on God's faithfulness for year after year after year. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to show you how Zadok was faithful, mainly because people just haven't heard of him, and I thought that's a shame. People need to hear about Zadok. He's in the Handel's Messiah, by the way, Zadok. And there's a whole part of that wonderful celebration of music which talks about Zadok the priest walking into the temple. You know, I don't know if you knew that's what the Messiah was about, but that's what it is. It's one of the things it's about. So if I was to take these words, fidelity and assurance and veracity and truthfulness and faithfulness, I would say this, that if I was to make it really personal, take a theological statement, make it really personal, it would sound like this. You're listening? I am persuaded. Right? Powerful word. I am persuaded. I have been persuaded. I am persuaded. And I will continue to be persuaded that the gospel is true. It is credible. I have a deep-seated moral conviction of the truthfulness of God. And it finds its focus especially on my reliance upon Christ for salvation, and I am by the help of the Holy Spirit, because of salvation, the Holy Spirit can now live in me, live in you, because of salvation. I am constant in my profession of faith in God, and by extension, the expression of this gospel truth, particularly towards others. If we are filled with the Spirit of God, we have the nature and character of God within us. Did you hear what I'm saying? That if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit of God has come in to live inside of us, right? And as a result of that, His nature, His goodness, His kindness, His patience, His gentleness, it's already inside of us. Because God is inside of us. Remember, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives inside of us. And that's how you can have assurance of your salvation. Right? You have God living inside of you just for making that simple statement. And I pray that you have done this. Jesus Christ, I accept the gospel. I accept that it is true. I accept you come live in my heart and enable me to live as you have planned for me to live. It's as simple as that. Giving ourselves over to God. Giving ourselves over to God. Do you know, in other words, I guess we could say it like this, God gifts his faithfulness to us. It's a gift. Right? God gifts, by virtue of the Holy Spirit living within us, the faithfulness of God is already in us. And we're to be faithful now in our relationship with everybody that God has planted us amongst. You with me? By the grace of God, he's filled you with his faithfulness. And so out of that comes an expression of his faithfulness to the people he's planted you amongst. Just be faithful, folks. You can say to somebody, you know, you really should believe in Jesus. And they might say back, why? Right? Well, that's when you just shut your mouth and you live it in front of them. And you can live it in front of them because God is already in you. Oh, I'm obviously not getting across. Because that is good news. That is such good news. God lives in you. His faithfulness is in you. Okay, you work your way through the Bible, you'll find that faithfulness is part of his nature and character. It's given to us, and he wants to grow it in us. Remember, Jesus spoke about the small seed which grows into a large tree? All right? God wants to grow faithfulness in us. Now, this is the amazing thing. I want you to think about this for a while. Think of this. So God wants to put this small seed in us of faithfulness, right, or whatever it might be. In this case, we're talking about faithfulness. And he wants it to grow into a large tree. God could have been doing so many other things. You know, think of it. The immensity of God. You know, we can see so far at night. You go out there, a lot of people will be doing this in the next couple of weeks. They look into the sky, and we see the grandeur of the sky. Have you ever done that? Particularly people who have lived in a town all their lives, and for the first time they go out into the countryside where they can see the stars and all of their glory, and it's mind-blowing. I never knew there were so many stars. All I ever saw was street lamps. And beyond the street lamps, the stars. And beyond the stars, there are more stars. And beyond those stars, there's more. The immensity of God is amazing. The capacity of God to do stuff is totally mind-blowing. And so you have a God who is immense. You have a God who's all-powerful. A God who knows the innermost workings of who I am and who you are. And he wants to grow you in faithfulness. I mean, he could be way out there beyond Death Star 96. Right? He could be doing stuff out there, and no doubt that he is. But he has chosen to be at work in your life and mine. You know, the scriptures say that his desire is he wishes to bring many sons and daughters to glory. Now, when it says glory there, what does it mean? It means to the demonstration of his nature and character. You know, we think it's all bright lights and, you know, bing, 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 glory, you know, glory, glory, boom, you know. And no. It's the nature and character of God glorifying him as we go about our daily life. His desire is that he's more committed to the goals that he has for our life than we are, because we don't even know half the time what the goals are that God has for us. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. You know, he's working in us even though we don't really know anything really about the end game. But God's at work in us, regardless of our knowledge or our lack of knowledge. Isn't that good news? That God's at work in us, and he's growing us in his nature and character. I don't want Philip Underwood's nature and character to grow anymore. I want it to... Excuse me? Which one of you said that? Too much laughter over here. Stop that smirking. But I agree with you, actually. Yeah. I've had enough of the old Philip Underwood, the old nature. Give it up! Because what God has got for you and me is far greater than our eyes can see, than our hearts can imagine, than our ears can hear. Far greater. And he's more committed. The God who created all of this, in him we live and move and have our being. He created it all. He puts it together and he sustains it by his mighty hand. Ever thought about what would happen if God withdrew his hand from what he's created? What a nuclear mess there would be. It would be horrible. But he doesn't withdraw his hand. He holds everything right down to the smallest quark. He holds everything to where it should be. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that. And that God is at work. He has put faithfulness into our hearts, and he wants to grow that seed of faithfulness into a great and mighty tree of faithfulness. And let me tell you this, because of his immensity, because of his integrity, because of his goodness, because he's genuine, because he has veracity, he's truthful, he cannot deny himself. All right? And Paul put it very succinctly when he said, he who has called you is faithful and he will do it. Can you say that with me? He who has called me is faithful and he will do it. Now, you're probably sitting there saying, do what? All right, okay, let's have a look. Do what? Do what? Sounds like a song. You know. Anyway, do what? God is more committed. He's more faithful to his goal of us becoming more and more like his son Jesus than we are. If you can't trust yourself, trust God, right? Trust God. Christ has already died as an investment in your life. Do you get me? Christ has already made his investment to that end. The death of Christ and his resurrection, our acceptance of that history, makes us able to host the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who will be with us forever. How long is forever? Forever. Can anybody measure forever? Forever. And so in John chapter 16, verse 13, you know, the disciples are gathered around Jesus and they've experienced firsthand and they've got some insight into the great and mighty things that he has done, and they have some really good insight into his immensity and his capacity to the degree where they're beginning to think, we can't do without this guy. And then all of a sudden he stands in front of them and he says, I'm going. Right? And you can't go. You can't leave us. No, I got to go so that the Holy Spirit can come. All right, this deposit of faithfulness in our lives has been won for us by Christ at the cross. And because of Christ at the cross, the Holy Spirit is now able to come. And this is what the Holy Spirit's going to do. We got it up there? When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, listen to this. And he has come. It's in the past tense for us now. He has come. So when he comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Wonderful. Into all the truth. He won't speak on his own. He'll speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it's from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. It's from me that he will speak what is to be made known to you. Whatever he hears, he will tell you. He will glorify me because it's from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And verse 15 says, all, now listen to this, all that belongs to the Father, all right, all that belongs to this great and immense God, this all-powerful, this amazing God, everything that belongs to him, he shared with his Son, and the Son gives to the Holy Spirit to make known to us. Wow. So Jesus told a lot of parables about faithfulness and being trustworthy. In the parable of the talents, for example, the servants are given money. Now, we're given money, just like those servants are. We're given time. We're given responsibilities. And I'm not going to go and read the parable of the talents because I don't want to focus on that. I just want to focus on the fact that when Jesus, or when the manager returned, he rewarded those who had grown what they had been given. So in this case, it was money, but it could be responsibility. It could be any one of a number of things. It could be our use of time. It could be our growth in the nature and character that he has given to us, so that they grow from a small seed into a large tree, to have faithfulness that grows from a small seed into a large tree. Now, I just want to make sure that you understand that the word in which faithfulness is used, the word which is used in Galatians chapter 22, actually has nothing to do with faith in the salvation of God. In other parts of the word of God, that's what it means. But in this particular place, in Galatians 5:22, the sense and the tense of the word has nothing to do with having faith in Christ as Savior, but it has clearly to do with our relationships with each other. The fruit of faithfulness, the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on and so on. It has to do, it's a relational thing. It's to be worked out, it's to be expressed. The heart, the core being of God that has been placed within us is to be expressed towards the people that we're surrounded by, the people that we have relationship with. We are to be faithful to the people that God has planted us amongst. We're to have fidelity in our life with each other. We're to be trustworthy. This is what God wants us to grow in. So how do we get to be faithful? Here's the last thing that I want to talk about. How do we get to be faithful? Well, simply, you acknowledge that you're a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. You decide to be a faithful disciple. You ask for the fruit of faithfulness, and you expect the Holy Spirit to guide you and, here's a wonderful old-fashioned word, to guide you and school you in this fruit of faithfulness that you've been given. So this week, expect to have some adversity come along. All right? Expect to have some situation come along that's going to challenge you. And you're going to look at it and you're going to recognize and you're going to say, I think God's trying to school me here. How many people here had a coach? Did your coach ever push you so hard that you thought you were going to die? Yeah. We had coaches that, I never had this myself, but I had friends, they probably smoked too much or something like that, but man, they would be sick on the side of the football field. They'd be over there, and we'd, the rest of us would be laughing at them, of course, you know, great kindness. And another fruit of the Spirit. This was BC, all right? But expect the great coach. We have a great coach. We have the immense God of the universe as our coach. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and His nature and character is deep within our hearts. It's amazing, isn't it? And do you think He's going to let us carry on the way we are? Or as a friend of mine, when he laughs, he goes, ha, ha, ha. Bays like a donkey. It's a joke. God's not going to let us go on the way we are. You really think He is? What do you think? You think He's just going to, oh, it's all right, you're doing fine, carry on. No. God is going to start challenging us. He's going to bring stuff down the pike which is going to give us a decision to make. Am I going to step back in to the old nature? Or am I going to walk in step with the Spirit? Is this fruit of faithfulness going to burst like a flavor burst in the mouth of God, bringing Him great satisfaction? Yeah, I think that's what He's going to do. He's going to challenge me this week. He's going to challenge you. And He's going to grow faithfulness in our lives. And that faithfulness will have a reward. Remember, I'm not talking about our faith in Christ as our personal Savior. I'm talking about the faithfulness that we're to have. I'm to be faithful to you. I'm to be faithful to Tom. I've known Tom for 20 years. I hope that counts as some kind of faithfulness towards you, Tom. You know, I'm getting to know you more and more and more. You know, boy, if anybody goes for you, I'll be there. All right? You know, there's a faithfulness towards each other that God wants us to express. There's a faithfulness that He wants us to express in our job situations towards the people He's planted us amongst. This week you'll be challenged. You will be. But if you walk in step with the Spirit of God, you will display what those people need to see of the core being of this immense God of the universe who has chosen to limit Himself to your mortal frame. Right? It truly is amazing. Next week, come back and I'll teach you about Zadok. Right? It's really amazing how God rewards Zadok. And bring somebody with you. Your husband has put more chairs out. Did he tell you that? Yeah, he got sick of the chairs the way they were. So he put a few more chairs out, put an extra row in. He said, we're getting too many people along, Phil. We need to put more chairs in. So I'm going to share with you the rewards of faithfulness in this life and in the life to come. Because there is a reward in the life to come. It's amazing. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Against such things there is no law. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. You decide right now, I'm going to be faithful. Can you decide that right now? I'm not going to be conceited. Just make that decision right now. These are the options. When you put them like this, it's a no-brainer. I'm going to decide right now to be faithful. I'm not going to be conceited. I'm not going to be disobedient. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm going to decide right now to allow the Holy Spirit to school me in faithfulness. Amen? Can you say that? Say it with me. I will allow the Holy Spirit this week to school me in faithfulness. I give you permission, Holy Spirit, to do what you see needs to be done. Even to not give me what I want, but what you know I need. The Holy Spirit will guide you through the challenges of everyday life. He's living within you. This is what He's there for. He'll grow you into faithfulness, and you, listen to this, you will be a stunning burst of the taste of joy in the Father's heart. Amen? Amen. Amen. Oh, Father God, we receive from you right now your Holy Spirit to make this so. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So watch out. Watch out. You got a week coming, man. And there's going to be some interesting stuff happen. Give me a call and tell me about it. You got my email up there. You can, you know. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the stories. We'll have some testimonies next week, right? What did God do by the power of His Holy Spirit to make you grow in faithfulness this last week? Oh, exciting stuff. These are the things that matter to God. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. God make His face to shine upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.